This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. 8 o'clock, actually 8:02 on the, is it the 18th day? Yeah, 18th day of January.
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I was wrong. Oosh, for a second.
No, it is the 18th.
Just want to remind you, if you can't get yourself in front of a TV, we have got Hawks and Pistons pregame, 7 o'clock tonight, tip off at 7:30. Remember when that was a big deal, man, back in the day?
Yep.
This is a big game.
Yep.
Going up against Sally would come in here, you know, when spend his time over Georgia Tech. And, boy, and aren't the Pistons the reason why the Hawks gave John Konkak all that money?
Yep.
The okie doke on him.
Make sure he didn't go to Abbott.
Man. That's a Wichita. What was the boy Chuck? That was a Chuck Daly move. We're gonna get that guy from you. And all of a sudden, Hawks are writing a big check. Anyway, Sam McGray, like I said, we're gonna get into the NFL, but something happened this past week, which I think is significant, and I'm waiting to see the fallout from it. But man, this Rob Manfred this past week, he's shown me something. Now, I'm not even talking about the scandal and the cheating, and then, of course, he just handed down suspensions, but I'm sure there was a call between him and the owners of those teams.
To know what would eventually happen.
Exactly.
Yep.
But something else happened this past week. Major League Baseball changed their stance on ineligible players once they're dead, meaning that those, say, 1919 Chicago Black Sox who were accused of throwing the World Series, most notably Shoeless Joe Jackson, could now go into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
If Pete Rose had a heart attack tomorrow.
Oh, don't say
no,
that.
No, I'm saying, but if that were to happen, all right, let's say he left however you want to have him leave. It ain't like he's 22 years old.
If Pete were to go, they
would then be able to vote and get him into the Hall of Fame. I'm just talking about real stuff, man.
Between me, I always felt like that would happen, that the writers would ever waiting him out. That's just what I've always felt anyway.
But who's not besides Shoeless Joe is the one. And I'm talking about more modern-day players and from Pete up. But who, beside Pete, is not in the Hall of Fame because of some transgression that they should be in?
I can't. I mean,
he's
the main one.
He's the main one, but there will be others, and you know they're going to happen from not only the steroid era,
I think they do something for the steroid era.
Anyway, that was just something that was notable this past week. All right, listen, I'm going to back up because I'm going to let you go.
Well, you want to do that first?
Okay, we'll lead into it.
No, it's we're talking about the games coming up tomorrow. First of all, who do you like in the games tomorrow?
I want to see the Super Bowl everybody else wants to see. I don't want to see Tennessee there. I want to see
Why
Kansas.
Do you not want to see Tennessee?
Because I just don't. I like what Kansas City does. I like Andy Reid. I think Andy, you know, there's people who don't make it to that game and you're kind of happy because you never really liked them or they weren't a good person for whatever reason. I'm talking about coaches.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is beloved. And there's no reason not to like Andy Reid. You know his answer to something when it gets tough, or as a prize to somebody, that guy deserves a cheeseburger. That's his. I mean, you ever see that in interviews? I love that.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, that guy deserves a cheeseburger."
He's beloved. Very popular.
He's got that thing where he can't get across this finish line. And he's got a losing record in playoffs, so I'd like to see Andy Reid get there. Plus, who don't like Patrick Mahomes? As an exciting player.
You know, I put this out there last weekend as I was watching the games. I said, boy, you know the folks at State Farm are real happy. Because Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers will
win
it, right?
Problem.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. The folks at State Farm, you know who they want to see at the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't work for State Farm.
They've already probably dropped a whole lot of money for an ad to show in that game. And nothing would be better than to have their two guys squaring off in that game.
I want to see the rebirth of the 49ers. Now, I don't care who wins between
these
two.
We've seen the rebirth.
They're
relevant.
Hardware, man. Okay. Hardware. That's what I want to see.
All right, well,
I want to see all the old 49ers come out. I want to see the old Packers coming out. I've seen Brett Favre enough.
Yeah, we saw Joe Montana last week.
I know, and I want to see some more. I want to see some Roger Craig. I want to see all them dudes. So, anyway, you asked me who I want. That's who I want. And I can't believe you're asking, you know, somebody who grew up is a Chicago Bears fan wanting to see a Packer in the Super Bowl. Plus what that dude did back in July in Lake Tahoe, right? You get me going down that rabbit hole.
What do you mean you go down that thing?
Why is he unnecessarily just a you-know-what?
Greg had a little encounter with Aaron Rodgers.
And I'm in a long line of folks who've been, dealt with his curtness.
Well, he seemed like a popular guy to a lot of folks, but you caught him on a bad day.
Anyway, so there you go. Who do you want?
You got no use for the guy.
Man, like I said, I'm in a long line. I told my story to some folks, and they go, oh, yeah, you want to hear mine? So, he's known to be that.
Yeah. You know what? Chiefs, for historic reasons, 50 years ago, they won the Super Bowl. So, you know?
Well, this would be, if Green Bay made it in, it would be a replay of Super Bowl I.
Well, Super Bowl I, but the Chiefs won the third Super Bowl. So that was the game.
No, they didn't win the third one.
The Vikings,
they won the fourth one.
Fourth one over the Vikings. And so that was
23 toss power trap.
With that thing rolled up in his hand.
23 toss power trap. Keep matriculating the ball down the field, guys.
Hank Stram.
Wendy, that's Hank Stram.
She's looking at her like, okay, whatever you say.
One of the worst toupees in sports. Yeah. But he's the guy who got the Kansas City Chiefs. That was my father's team, man.
Yeah, man, I love that team.
And I was in Oakland. I mean, we liked the Bears, both of us, but when we picked teams outside of Chicago growing up, he liked Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, then I had to take their opponent. So I liked the Oakland Raiders. So I came up with the Snake, and I came up with, Madden as the coach, and,
I just love that Chiefs team. They were big and they were fast.
Otis Sistrunk.
Had a lot of players from HBCUs.
Man. Willie Lanier and all them guys. Willie Brown, all them guys.
So, they were great, great, great players on those teams.
All right, so we got that
going
on.
We got some coaches getting coaching jobs. Jason Garrett wasn't unemployed very long.
He wants to start coaching again, obviously.
Yes.
Because he's sick of being, what appears to us as being Pinocchio.
Who else are we going to see fall in up there at the Giants, man? They had a little.
Well, he got a special teams coach as the head coach. Well, they do. That's what he had. Was his position before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh because this has happened before. Other teams have taken guys who weren't, that staunch offensive or defensive coordinator. So we don't know. Maybe he's putting the right people around him. All I know is this about Jason Garrett. I can't think of a more visible, hungry coach to show what he can do than this dude.
Okay. And I didn't give you my picks for Super Bowl. I do want to see Green Bay and KC. Okay. So we'll see. It's one seat.
He ain't coming to my house.
Oh, come on.
Jesse ain't letting no Packers fans in my house.
I'm going along with the State Farm people, man. That's who they want to see in the game.
I could see that a couple weeks ago when we had, some kind of connection to them here in town. But,
Yeah.
That was SunTrust. I'm sorry. We still got the arena. I don't want him. I want him to have this. I don't want him having more, and this is selfish. I don't want him having more Super Bowl rings than Brett Favre.
And some people don't want to see that happen.
No, I don't.
But he's there in a position, and, it's going to be a classic matchup, and I want to, Either way, Tennessee has had a great run. They've done some amazing things. I just don't see them getting it done in Kansas City this week.
You didn't see him getting it done in Baltimore last week. Nobody saw that.
No, well. If Kansas City can't slow down Derrick Henry, then they'll win. He's the key. Because he is the key. If he can go tomorrow, he keeps Mahomes on the sideline.
Well,
that's what they did last year. The offense is a big part of the defense.
He took a page from his mentor's playbook. That's what New England did against Mahomes last year, and he's got the stud as far as a running back to do that. Yeah. Now, is Andy Reid smart enough to make the adjustments? That's the question.
Well,
that's always been the question with Andy Reid.
During the course of the season, Andy Reid's defense has ramped up. That's a different kind of defense they got in Kansas City. And it has ramped up as the season's gone on. I think those guys are ready. I really do.
Listen,
yeah.
Andy has had some things to say about this. And, again, I love this man. And he's getting ready for what I think is the Super Bowl is one thing, but getting to the Super Bowl is another. Let's hear a little Andy Reid right now.
I have done a few of these, and we try to keep it as normal as we possibly can as far as the schedule goes for the players. So I try to stick to that, but I've done that during the time. I understand. I've been there. I understand how fast the game is. I mean, I can tell you that from experience, and obviously still single elimination, but the magnitude's bigger, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I just, again, of the remaining coaches, he's the one that I want to see have success. That's just me. Yeah. We're going to talk more NFL coming up next segment. We're going to talk to Russell Baxter. But I need you to get this off your chest, man. You got bothered this past week.
Because of Marshawn Lynch. And not for the reasons people might think. The things he talked about, the warning that he gave to the players on his way out. Yeah. Great sage advice. But my problem is, why ain't he been doing that all along? To me, he squandered a lot of time and a lot of years going around the media, not speaking at all. When he had something to say, something that would be relevant and received by the current players, and I really appreciate that. We hear a little bit of that. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Look, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So if they was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young Sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money, because don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what you want to. So I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean? They no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do.
Profound.
Yeah.
Profound.
Yeah.
And it resonates with the players. It's not like it's coming from somebody who played 5, 10, 15 years ago. It resonates because this is a guy who keeps it real, or as we want to say, is authentic.
Right.
There's something to be said for authenticity.
Yeah.
And you may say, well, the way he said it was kind of rough and kind of harsh. Well, it's a way that the guys, he didn't speak to anybody. He's speaking to his colleagues. He's speaking to guys. And not only the guys who are playing in the league, but the guys who are busting their ends to make it to the league, to know when you come in here from the beginning, take care of yourself, handle your business. You know, because it doesn't last forever.
My
problem was he wouldn't do this all during his career.
And I have an answer as to why. But we don't have time for that right now. Let's revisit this at 40 after we talk to Russell.
Okay.
We're going to go around the league and around the games up next. But I want to spend some time on that because I think he was the right person giving the right message at the right time.
But what are you waiting for?
Hang on. I'll give you my stance on that. Like I said, later on in the hour. But up next, going to continue the NFL talk in these playoff games with Russell Baxter. Join Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
What up, Snailville?
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Listen to Will Carroll, injury expert, every Thursday at 9:20. John Fricke and Hugh Douglas on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning.
Morning.
You haven't given us a game day, because man. We were like almost out the door.
You left off Georgia. You said good morning and stopped.
Yeah, don't always have to say Georgia.
Yeah,
the good morning part is the part.
You normally do.
This is my thing. I can do how I want to edit it. But you haven't given us the signature of our show all morning long. People have got to walk in the traffic. By the way, don't do it on 15th Street because it's closed.
On 17th
Street. Yeah, if y'all are coming down Peachtree Street in Midtown, 15th Street off of Peachtree is closed due to the construction here at Colony Square.
We got some. Yeah. You'll figure it out once you get in the Buckhead today if you come this way.
Will you give us one so we can do this thing, man?
The game day Sunday?
Yeah, please.
Game day Saturday. Tomorrow's the game day.
We got games today.
Okay, it was a game day Saturday.
God bless you, man. Thank you very much. We got Hawks and Pistons tonight. That's the game he's talking about, NBA action. But tomorrow, in case you can't get in front of a TV, we have got the AFC and NFC Conference Championship games. Titans and Chiefs pregame 2 o'clock, kickoff at 3. Packers and 49ers follow us, pregame 6:15, kickoff at 6:40. Before we bring our guest on, I want to get his thoughts on this because, Sam, this is, and we just gave our picks on who we think will win these games and end up in the Super Bowl. But to me, these two guys are the biggest stories of these playoffs. And so I want you to hear a little bit of Coach Mike Vrabel.
I think he's athletic. I think he's accurate. I think he's prepared. I think he's a really good leader. You know, the guys, he's been able to hold players accountable in his own way. I think that's the whole process of what we've been trying to do, you know, and not get our feelings hurt.
Now, that's Titans coach Mike Vrabel talking about his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, who could be playing, and this is the craziest part about this, a Super Bowl in Miami.
Yeah.
A team that he left.
How about that?
And I just find these two the story of the playoffs, and I'm wondering what Russell feels about that. I want to welcome Russell Baxter to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Russell, your thoughts on where Mike Vrabel has got his team at right now?
Well, it's fascinating. And, you know, I think the thing with the Titans, who are the Ferris Bueller of the NFL, by the way, if you haven't realized that. You do know, right?
Yes.
9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. Fry. And funny, four straight winning seasons after a dismal stretch, only made the playoffs twice. By the way, their last playoff win at Kansas City 2 years ago after – Andy Reid's team opened up an 18-point lead. Just something to throw out there. Yeah, I think what Mike Vrabel has done and the realization – listen, Marcus Mariota was a first-round pick, the second overall pick in the draft in 2015. But if you can't stay on the field and you can still continue to struggle with giving away the football, a good coach – and by the way, Mike Vrabel was not the head coach when they made the playoffs 2 years ago. It was Mike Mularkey – who lost it. Remember, they made the playoffs, beat Kansas City, lost to New England, and he was fired afterwards. Okay, so I like what Mike Vrabel has done here. And you have to, you know, you see it with coaches who are trying to establish winning, Greg and Sam. When you realize the player isn't, regardless of the financial ramifications, where he was drafted, et cetera, you got to get a healthy person on the field. I think that's what Carolina did with Cam Newton this year, okay? They were 0-2. He didn't look like himself. The ankle injury from the preseason was bothering, still recovering from shoulder surgery. Let's get a fresh body in there. And Derrick Henry, well, I've drawn this analogy to two other guys who were in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
yep,
who went on runs like this, no pun intended, John Riggins in 1982, okay. Terrell Davis in 1997. Four games where those guys dominated the opposition, with the help of their offensive line. And that's what we're seeing with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry runs like, and this is going to be a weird analogy. Say the three of us are pushing a refrigerator up a ramp, and one of us lets go. And down comes the refrigerator. That is Derrick Henry.
So we're Sisyphus.
Well,
that's basically it. I was going to say, I thought there was another name you were going to throw in there, and that was Earl Campbell.
No, because, listen, Earl Campbell
got the
was
Super Bowl.
The scariest
know,
running back
as far as
what? But, okay, yeah. I'm talking about in the playoffs doing what he's doing. If I remember right, John Riggins in 1982 had four straight 100-yard games and ran for 610 yards. In four playoff games. I'm talking specifically about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay? In 1982, the Redskins won the Super Bowl. In 1997, the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Really on the back of those two guys. Those were the keys. They were both Super Bowl MVP that year. Obviously, both in the pro. In fact, I think it was that kind of performance by Terrell Davis that probably spearheaded him getting in the Hall of Fame as much as his overall career.
Yep. I would agree with that as well. Folks, we're spending time with Russell Baxter. He is social, by the way. Follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru, BaxFootballGuru. If the running game is big, then it could be in favor of San Francisco. They've been riding a red-hot running game throughout these playoffs as well, not just one big guy, but collectively.
Yeah, well, listen, San Francisco, and listen, when Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta, you know, I don't have to tell you that he used the two-back system.
Right.
You know, obviously with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. The thing that's amazing about the 49ers, by the way, just throwing this out here, from four wins to 13 wins, tied for the third biggest turnaround in NFL history in terms of wins from one season to the next. And watching San Francisco run the football and watching them play defense as well, they are – to me, easily the most aggressive team in the league, and maybe the most ferocious, if that makes sense. Watching what Nick Bosa has done to change the attitude of the other guys up front. Now, DeForest Buckner has been a pretty quality player, but the other guys, the former first-round draft choices, have been somewhat disappointing. And Listen, this Niners defense is not without flaws. I probably said this on your show 45 times, and I've been on your show 45 times. It's hard to sack the quarterback when the running back has the football. And sometimes you see that with San Francisco. San Francisco's run, it's funny, second overall in total yards, first against the pass, 17th against the run. Kind of like Green Bay. Green Bay, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith coming up field, they're very vulnerable to the run as well. In fact, Green Bay's 23rd against the run. So I know these teams played, Green Bay and San Francisco played 37-8. You know, it was overwhelming. But I've also seen teams get whacked in the regular season and then go back a month later like the Jets did to the Patriots and come back and win. The thing that bothers me is still a little about San Francisco, guys, is they have a tendency to put the football on the ground. And this was a deep – remember last year they set dubious NFL records. Two interceptions and seven total takeaways. Those are the fewest in the season in NFL history, which is mind-boggling if you think about it. But they also turned over the ball 23 times this year, guys. And they actually turned over the ball twice last week in the win over Minnesota. So Jimmy Garoppolo's still in the giving mood, even though Christmas was a month ago.
Russell Baxter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Talk about a couple stories in the NFL, not these particular games, but from the past few weeks and as the season ended. And I want to put a little spin on this. I'm not saying to you or asking you who will, but in your mind, who do you think should, of these two quarterbacks, remain on their present team? Drew Brees, Tom Brady, both, one, or neither?
I think Drew Brees remains. I'm trying to imagine the New Orleans Saints without him. He still had a lot of life in that arm. And I know they lost at home. And talk about – remember we just talked about takeaways and the Niners setting a record? The Saints set a record this year. They had 8 turnovers in one season, fewest by a team in a season in NFL history.
Wow.
And yet turned over the ball twice. And one of those, Drew Brees just dropping the football. Even before he got hit. There's something still seems to be a little missing with the Saints. I don't know if it's, play calling, over coaching. I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but, I looked at Minnesota's defense this year, which I thought was average at best, and it didn't seem like the Saints really attacked them the way they should. They were sporadic in that game. Tom Brady, it is really hard to get a gauge on what's going on in New England because Tom Brady is in a situation we haven't seen him in. He's a free agent. I mean, even Drew Brees was a free agent at one time. That's how he wound up with New Orleans. So the first time in his career, and obviously he's in his early 40s now, what do you do? We know, obviously, that 5 years ago, the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. Seemed pretty obvious that Bill Belichick wanted to make the transition a couple of years ago. We saw what happened, the trade, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't it funny? Jimmy Garoppolo is still in the playoffs and the Patriots aren't. So I'm not sure. It seems like we could be seeing another power struggle between Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. But the bottom line is this. Tom Brady actually has the decision to make. It's not up to the team.
We say we'll watch and see what happens as far as that goes. Of course, Russ, we always appreciate you spending some time with us, especially here on Championship Weekend. And especially since Greg and I are back together on the same side of the glass,
man. Yeah, man, this is first Saturday for the longest time.
First time you've been on with us on Saturday, so we're glad you're with us on our second Saturday back.
My pleasure. Who do you guys like tomorrow, by the way?
I already told Sam, I like Kansas City and San Francisco.
I'm going with the State Farm people. I'm going with Mahomes and Rodgers.
Hey, finally, real quick, Russell, I want to get this in. Your thoughts, Luke Kuechly's career. He retired.
Well, very similar to Patrick Willis in terms of, leaving the game early and understandably so and so on, wanting to take care of himself. Concussions are nothing to mess around with.
Right.
One of those guys down the road, I think, will be considered for the Hall of Fame. His production is off the charts as a complete linebacker, too, by the way, not just a bunch of sacks and tackles, interceptions. Sad to see him go.
Gotcha. Russell, we appreciate it, man, and look forward to bringing you back on soon.
You got it.
All right, appreciate it. Russell Baxter joining us during the football season. Mr. Crenshaw, you and I need to get back to this whole Marshawn Lynch thing next. You ready?
Let's do it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Look, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So if it was me or if I had an opportunity to let these little young Sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money because that don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, that of course, Marshawn Lynch, passing on his knowledge this past week. We have done a lot of things throughout the course of this show and talked about a number of things, but this particular situation with Marshawn passing out his knowledge has just been like nails on a chalkboard to Mr. Crenshaw.
Well, not just nails on the chalkboard. What he's saying is fine. My thing is, why has he waited to say it? You know, my thing is this. He's had all this time when and he just passed on opportunities to speak to the media when he had something to say.
Right.
So why wait until now? That's my whole thing. You got a short period in your life and your career where people give a rat's you know what,
right,
what you have to say.
Right.
And you got something so profound and so real that players who are in the league and guys who are coming into the league, trying to bust their ears to get to the league, will listen to you and adhere to what you have to say. Why you wait till now? That's my big issue with him. And there are other things he could have said too during the course of his career.
Right.
And he's a smart guy, obviously. He knows when to talk because he's got Skittles commercial. Right. So he's a smart guy.
You didn't throw that in, did you?
Well, you know what I mean? So he knows that. But why not use your opportunity? When the microphone is in front of you, that's your opportunity to take control of it. Sure, the reporters want something, but what's wrong? His foundation. Why can't he use that time to talk about kids he's helped in his foundation? What can he hold up a cue card and say, this is Andre? Andre hated school. Andre was on the verge of dropping out. Our foundation boosted his confidence. He's an honor roll student and captain of the basketball team. Don't you want to help other kids like Andre? Why couldn't he do that? I'm just saying this guy had something profound to say that could impact a lot of folk in his own way because he does it in a very real way and he hadn't done it.
Okay, I have two thoughts. Well, I have a number of thoughts.
Go ahead.
First of all, for those people who have been trying to understand what he has been saying, understand something. He wasn't talking to y'all.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get past that first. You know, say what you want to say about Marshawn that way. We ain't trying to hear that. The other thing about that is, to your point, as far as I'm concerned, could Julio Jones, and I'm talking about one of the top players presently in the league, could Julio Jones say what he said or deliver the message that Marshawn delivered last week and have it received the same way?
No.
That's why he did it now, because he left. And he came back. He found out what it was like to deal with the money that he was so used to coming in on a weekly or monthly or however he got paid, and it was pulled away from him. And he had to go through that. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason he came back, but being who he was, having the respect he had, and then walking off the stage for a period of time gave him a perspective that nobody else in the league has. Now, again, we could talk about some ex-player. Chris Long.
Okay.
Just retired because he wants to take care of himself and he's got some medical issues. He can't come back and deliver that message and have it received the way Marshawn's did. Can't do it. He's not that person. That's why I said it was the right message at the right time delivered by the right person. It's always how the message is delivered and how it's presented to people. And I think that there was no better person to do that, and I don't think it happens. You wanted him to do it in year 4 or year 6 or whatever during his career when he was running over people. I get it. But I don't think it's received then like it's received now, because just like, you know.
But he had something to say then.
But it wouldn't have been heard. It wouldn't have been received because he's the guy who won't talk. Remember? See, that's your biggest problem. He didn't talk during his career.
But he had something to say.
Well.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have a problem with him saying something then. He could have said something before now.
He wasn't talking then. He wasn't talking. I'll tell you somebody. Well, see, you're going to have to get him on the phone and ask him that. I'll tell you somebody else who talks a lot now who didn't talk during their career, and you wonder the same thing. I never would have imagined Randy Moss having the broadcasting career he's had. Because Randy Moss was not a person who talked a lot during his career. And when he did talk, most of the times the stuff that made national news was sort of, you know, making fun of him or something knucklehead that he said. So a lot of times when these guys are in it, they're not the right messenger. And that's what I took from Marshawn and what I heard this past week. He was now ready to talk about something that he had gone through. Not just playing on the field, but real life experiences, and realize, oh, maybe I should have done this better. Let me tell y'all something about me. And I'm one of the top players of all time. Is Marshawn going to the Hall of Fame?
I think he fit very well.
Okay, yeah. So I'm a future Hall of Famer. And when I got into the streets after leaving, you know, Oakland, this is what I ran into.
That's to say he didn't play. He didn't plan his exit. I think he probably was pretty well planned. I don't think he was hurting.
Not everybody can walk off the stage. Oh, the I know,
and come back. I know, absolutely. So I think you know he had his stuff all set. I think he had his all set. You know, but also
apparently
he just
not.
I don't think so.
I heard was somebody who left. There was a little bit of Swiss cheese there. Not the cheese he was talking about, but there were some holes in his grand plan. By the way, if you guys want to jump in on this conversation all day long, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, you give us a shout, let us know what you think. But that's what I take from Marshawn's press conference. And listen, he was asked a question. It wasn't like he called a press conference and decided to talk. He was asked a question, and he delivered it in his own method. And I don't think that method and that message would have been heard while he was still a member of the Seahawks.
I think that message would be heard from him anytime.
Yeah.
I really do.
Heard is one thing.
Because but because he spoke so rarely, that's it. You pull your seat up a little bit when he says something.
Right, so now
you
he did it.
You turn your volume up.
Exactly.
So he could have been doing this all along.
But he couldn't talk while he was at Seattle. He couldn't talk about what was going to – with the expectations of what you players are going to run into when you leave the game. He had to leave the game to experience that. That's why I think the credibility is there when he stands there and talks about all the other stuff between the white lines and your health, but yet also when you leave the game, you're going to have to deal with this. And we know that's there. That's always there. We hear that on a regular basis, but hearing it from a guy who doesn't normally talk and we saw walk away from the game an all-time great, yeah, that's my position. You can feel how you want about him, but I think that if he was going to say something, this is the right time to do it. Talk to them folks.
Yeah, great. So, but still some missed opportunities throughout the career. Like I said, and he knows when to talk because obviously, you know, he got the Skittle spot. So that was that shows you he's a smart guy.
Yeah,
he's a very, very, very smart guy. But I just think we miss out on something, and others who needed to hear from him miss out on a little something by him not speaking. So many and in so many ways, there was message through the silence. Sometimes you speak without speaking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people say silence is golden. Sometimes silence speaks louder than any type of word you would have. But when you're someone who is always careful to be his authentic self, to me, that's the person you want to come through. That's really going to resonate with the players who are in the league and the guys who are coming up. And to me, that's the thing that they missed out is in receiving that.
Before we get out of here, any thoughts on the inductees? For the Hall of Fame, this upcoming Hall of Fame class.
Oh, it was a very interesting class. Great. And you know what? And well done last weekend, the way they presented
it was bittersweet for me.
Yeah.
It was bittersweet. I'm not sure, but listen, God bless him, he's in there.
Coach Cowher and Coach Johnson.
Bill Cowher.
And Johnson. And Johnson was he was emotionally
shaken. That's the
shaken.
One that's got everybody head shaking. Why did it take him so long?
Yeah, he was emotionally shaken by it. And I think tip of the cap to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for doing something
that
really
was great.
Different.
Jimmy Johnson.
I mean, you can only do it with the guys who were there in studio, so that made it convenient too. But just having the presence of mind to do it that way.
Phew.
Great.
Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have been told it is not possibly the last college game time.
Okay.
Because I thought with national championship, but apparently not. So we got John Chuckery, Randy McMichael coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.